Right, episode 23. Do you know what?
What?
I really like 23 as a number.
Why?
Always have.
Because of Michael Jordan?
No, it's actually my birthday. It was just convenient that he happened to become 23.
Oh, so you are more important than Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Good, I agree.
Just own it. I'll just own it.
If he was the Rad Dad's co-host, he'd be more important.
Probably.
But you are...
I'm just, you know, in terms of people on the couch who 23 is a relevant number.
People from different cultures are different about numbers. Like, I think Chinese don't like a certain number, like 4 or something. So, you know, they change house numbers to 4A.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it, but at the end of the day,
what's it?
It's just like, a number.
What's like, buildings not having a floor 13. That's a thing as well.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Maybe amazing things would happen. Maybe parents should be on floor 13.
Maybe. Did you ever see Being John Malkovich?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, you know,
The floor in between the floors.
Yeah. I mean, that's the floor I want because, you know, you're going to wish bad luck on me. Well, my baby kept me up all night last night, so that's bad luck. I feel like we should own floor 13.
The other thing I'd just like to point out as well is that I know for me, if there seems like I'm carrying a little bit of extra luggage under the eyes this morning, letting you in behind the wall, normally we are recording in the evening. Flipped it up today.
Yeah.
Recording in the morning, voices deeper, eye bags bigger.
The weird thing is the internet never has start and stop times, so no one would have known.
I know. But it's just, you know, sometimes it's nice to bring people in.
Okay. It's nice. Two guys sitting in a garage at 7 in the morning bringing people in.
Bringing them in. It's about the love. I'll tell you what I haven't done.
What?
Is taken the lock off my phone.
Oh, yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Buckley will spend 35 minutes now getting into his phone for our first segment that is Winner of the World.
Winner of the People.
Children.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
23 is the number to aim for life.
All right, you're going to go first this week.
Am I?
Yep. Winner of the world.
Winner of the world. So I came across some research, some good people who run an organization called Time Well Spent. And the main idea is what they're working through is better ways for us to spend time digitally.
Digitally.
Yeah, because we don't really... We just use it. We don't understand what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So before Time Well Spent, this is what I found off the website. So there's before and after Time Well Spent. So this is a way to kind of frame up. I care about engaging users. Oh, so this is like a company, right? So we're Rad Dads and we have our default goal may sound like this, but there's another way to frame it.
Right.
I care about engaging users as much as possible. It's up to them to stop when they want to stop, up to them to unsubscribe when they want to unsubscribe, and up to them to uninstall my app if they find it too distracting. How much they get out of using my product is up to them, right? So it's like, we'll offer it, we'll clickbait you, we'll just put things on offer, and it's up to you to take it. So this is another mindset about time well spent. I care about serving people's ideal lives and helping them spend time well. It's my responsibility to help people continually get the most out of what I offer, including to stop when they want to stop and help them unsubscribe when they no longer benefit. So I guess it's not that different apart from the fact that you're imagining there's another person on the end of this.
Yeah, it's about outcomes.
Yeah.
It's about raising the outcome rather than being about a transaction.
Yeah, which is something I think we do think about on Rad Dads, eh? You know, like, it's not just the click. It's the connection of knowing there's a person, you know, engaging or watching or, you know, picking up what we're putting down. So
yeah, and as much as, like, even down to the fact that you know, the win of the world segment is ultimately about the fact that we need an antidote to all of the bad stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to get nothing out of the four or five or 6 minutes that we might be talking about the winds of the world. It's being able to just go, hey, look, let's look at the world a slightly different way today and hopefully find something that we can celebrate rather than, I guess, drag our feet on. And that's really cool. And it's really interesting because Will and I don't talk about what we're going to talk about. It's sort of, it's a you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and then we'll talk about it here because that's kind of what we're going for. But similarly,
that's like a grammar word, isn't it?
Similarly, it's just the extra my one of the world is in a similar vein. A New Zealand company has got worldwide media coverage this year. They've been working in a pilot phase of a four-day working week. So Perpetual Life, which is an organization that looks after trusts and wills and all that kind of carry on. Their CEO was a very forward-thinking gentleman, and he said, I'm going to give everybody a four-day week and pay them for five.
Boom.
But the thinking was, is that, again, it was about outcomes rather than, I guess, this fading ideal of a KPI. That's, I guess, I don't know about you, man, but that sometimes those three letters make me cringe a little bit.
Yeah.
Well,
what do they mean, you know?
Yeah. Key performance indicator.
Yeah, and I still say, what do they mean?
Yeah, and I think the cool thing and the win for me, and I think I wouldn't be speaking out of turn for you as well, is that we're shifting towards an understanding of the world that celebrates outcomes, celebrates what's actually happening, what's actually at play, rather than simply going, here's a list of things that we need to, boxes that we need to tick in our day, rather than looking at what's actually happening. And the cool thing about the Perpetual Life experiment is that the research has come out as an overwhelming success. So it's been picked up by international networks, Guardian in the UK, CNN, and everybody's going, wow, really? The research says that people are more productive and they're happier and all of those things. Heaven forbid that would actually be the case. And it's exciting to think, in as much as a four-day week sounds awesome, I think it's more exciting to think about the fact that we've got people in management and running these sorts of organizations thinking long and hard about how we can add the most value to what we do. So we've got developers over here thinking about being responsible with people as they use their products. And then we've got employers now thinking, how can we be responsible with our greatest asset, our people? So winning all round, I think.
Winning all round, one step at a time.
Yes.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something to do with space.
Space.
One small step for man, one giant leap for Red Dead.
We got to be careful because whenever we talk over each other, we try and harmonize.
Okay. Should we wrap the segment up?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What do we got up next?
I'll just wipe my nose.
Okay. Boom. Keeping that in.
It's a bit cold.
A brand new shiny thing. Say it.
Bright new shiny thing.
It's a bright new shiny thing. It's a bright new shiny day. Bright new shiny thing. Daylight. Yeah.
Boom.
What do you got on offer, Greg?
I am super excited. And just a disclaimer. We're not at all paid for or supported by Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Or Tesla or any of his subsidiary companies.
Can I just say something about Elon Musk? There was something in the press this week saying, don't pick on him too much because how do you think supervillains are made? You know? Let's cuddle him. We don't want a Lex Luthor.
And we want him just, it'll be okay. Yeah.
Elon.
It's going to be all right.
We see you.
Elon, we thank you.
Yeah.
He's said a couple of nasty things to a few people this week, so we're gonna separate Elon out from
the Musk,
and we're gonna talk about Tesla because we've got this interesting thing happening between Will and I. I'm a car guy, Will's not.
True.
And so sort of we're yin to each other's yang. But I am super excited about the fact that there's been a lot of talk, a lot of anticipation, a lot of criticism of the Tesla Model 3 not being able to get off the production line fast enough. So for those that don't know, the Model X and the Model S are sort of the Tesla flagship products, and they've been the products that have been for a long time the domain of the reasonably wealthy. They've been sort of six-figure, well, at least within the New Zealand context, they've been, you know, six-figure price tags. They've been relatively unattainable for the general population, and the production volume's been, relatively speaking, quite low. We all know, it's universally appreciated, just how good the Tesla product is in terms of electric vehicles. They've really set the standard. There's obviously a number of other manufacturers coming through and doing really great things, but they were the pioneers. They did it first. And what the Model 3 was going to be doing is not only bringing down that price, so bringing that price significantly down. I know that this the Model 3s are set to retail for $35,000, so I don't know what the New Zealand price will be, but it will be definitely under that.
Like 42 or something, eh?
Yeah, you know, be in that sort of, let's call it 50 for round money. But also there'll be a volume going into the market that will make a real significant difference in the way that our vehicle fleets are made up of. So it's exciting to think that we're really, you know, of the many, many, many things that I think that you and I will see in our lifetime and have seen in our lifetime, I think the input of something like the Model 3 into the vehicular landscape, we're going to see a lot more electric vehicles coming on online really quickly.
Yep.
But electric vehicles that are still kind of cool and fun to drive and interesting and also look good too. So very excited about that. Excited to see also what happens when you poke the bear a little bit. You know, the mainstream auto manufacturing sort of industry has to respond. And when you've got the budgets and the backing and all of that, that those guys do, I'm going to be really interested to see what some of those exciting manufacturers come back with. And it's going to be good times.
And then you hand it over to the non-car guy and he goes like this. Right on. No. That's
you'd be
cool.
Excited
cool.
About a Model 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm excited about it. Did you see one of our favorite YouTubers, Casey Neistat? He flew in the drone car. Did you see that video?
Yeah.
It's like we might not even get there because, you know, drone cars might just take over.
No, this is true.
I mean, this is still freaky if they stop. But how many on the daily do the little camera drones not kill people?
This is true.
You know, it's like more times than not, these things connect to satellites. They land themselves if they're in trouble.
Yep.
And it's like, it's just a bigger version of that. Now, I know that's like, whoa, but we don't watch a plane and think, oh, yeah, that's lucky that it landed. You know, we've done the work.
We've done the hard yards.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. I guess my biggest concern with that is that I'm a bit iffy about the noise pollution because, you know, on a flight, you can get like 500 people. I'm not sure how I feel about that plane being divvied up into 500 little pieces that are all flying on their own deal and what that's going to do for my environment in my headspace as I've got these cars kind of constantly buzzing above my head.
True. I think it just depends on like how high does the drone have to be before you don't know it's there. Like we don't know because we don't hear it.
Yeah.
We hear it when it's taking off and landing.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
There could be drones all the time, but you just don't. If you see it, like you more likely see a drone before you hear a drone.
Yeah, that's true.
Most times. I don't know. All good stuff.
Anyway.
Elon Musk. Go Elon Musk. I'm like, hey man, had some bad day. You're a billionaire and you're trying to do things that no one's ever done. You know, you're just going to say sorry.
Yep.
And check yourself and give yourself an uppercut and cuddle yourself and you'll be fine.
You'll be sweet.
Okay, so my brand new shiny thing is getting a little bit away from the brand new shiny thing.
That's cool.
Because we're all about the brand new shiny thing. And I embrace the brand new shiny thing. I'm just like, there's other things happening than the brand new shiny thing. So I'm going to talk about something that we both know, and it's the floating culture of New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So we do know, and we do some stuff with floatculture.co.nz if you're ever interested in checking out float stuff. But why I think it's a worthy topic is because you recently had a float yourself.
Yes.
And so I thought we might just spend 2 minutes talking about this whole idea of... You say sensory deprivation to people, and it kind of sounds like a torture. Well, it is a torture technique, just not if you frame it in a nice way, you know, which is having an hour by yourself in darkness, hearing your heartbeat is the only thing, and for some reason that, like, gives your brain either time to just relax, which is a good thing. You know, it makes your brain turn into a brand new shiny thing again. So, I mean... Is it kind of something that you thought you would ever cross?
No, I mean, full disclosure, the only reason that I know that I even gave it a whirl the first time was the fact that there was a stipulation from our good mate Anton at Float Culture that if we were to take on the job that we were doing for him, that we actually understood what this was about. He said, you can have the job. Only thing is you have to do a float.
True.
Which, again, kudos to him. I think that was hugely insightful. But once I was in there, I think the biggest thing, and because you've also floated as well, the thing that I think is the most interesting is you don't realize just how much your brain is subjected to inputs from all manners of the spectrum all of the time. And so when you've got this thing that's constantly absorbing, even when you don't think it's absorbing anything, overwhelming sense of relief when you remove as much of that input as possible and just give it some time to go, it's really interesting because it does. It begins to open up new parts of your brain, or at least capacity within your brain that... is otherwise kind of put on hold because we're so responsive to the world around us.
Yeah.
But it's like anything. There's definitely not a PR problem, but I think it's one of those things that you just have to, before you form an opinion on it, you got to try it.
Yeah, you've got to think about it just simply. You got to say to yourself, when's the last time I had an hour without anything? And probably the answer is, pre-birth.
Yeah.
And so 30-something, 40-something years is a long time to go out with that hour. And I was thinking about it, like cavemen or whatever, like they had their own float tanks because it got dark at night and the fire went out and that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. It was quiet. You may hear some birds, you know, chirping or whatever, but it wasn't like our world where there is no start and stop time.
It just keeps rolling.
Exactly.
And I think that's, again, you say, oh, no, but I close. Well, how is it different to going to sleep at night? But I think, you know, you're a parent, you got kids, the kids get up, you're responding to them, the bump in the night outside, you got to, you know, all of those things actually take a toll on your ability to hit reset. And just literally, like, when you're in that cocoon, everything, the lights are out. You're not worried about how warm it is. It's you, no other input. Be truly amazed at what will happen on the backside of it.
Boom.
You come up with all sorts of crazy ideas, one of which I need to talk to you about later.
Ooh, is it? Should we do that now or no? Don't do it now. We'll tease everyone.
Yep.
In the next episode, Greg's going to talk about his brand new shiny idea.
What
about this? To wrap up the segment, Elon Musk creates a self-driving float tank.
Wow.
That flies. Boom.
Might be a bit slushy.
It's called the slushy. You come out, this is this little blue thing. Okay, see ya.
Lyrically.
This is like Let It Be, eh? Lyrically. That's, it almost feels like lazy writing. Hey, Paul, let's do four versions of Let It Be. Let It Be.
My name is Steve.
My name is Steve. When the sun comes up tomorrow, my name is Steve. I'm 23.
I'm 23.
23. Lyrically.
After my birthday, I won't be
22.
Now let's have some fun today.
What do we got on the offer today, Greg? All right, audience. So if you don't know, every week we switch around some lyrics and one has to read them, the other one has to guess them. You guys play along as well. Today, Greg Buckley is the lyrical meister.
Currently the champion.
That's true. He picked last week's song, go check it out, in about one nose pick.
Well, okay, so today you're either going to get it like first two or three words,
okay,
or you're not going to get it.
Okay,
at all.
Go.
All right. Alone. Listless. Breakfast table in an otherwise empty room.
Daughter. Pearl Jam. Is it?
Yeah, you got it.
High five.
Long.
That's how that guy started. Less. That was like a way of singing.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Fred. Shoutouts to Fred. He hated it because he loved that stuff, and I was always a bit more into MC Hammer and you know, all the hip hop stuff.
I think it's worthy of a conversation on just how strange things shape pop culture
or trends, eh?
Yeah.
And then you had Nickelback, who kind of came out, and they're like, and there was like all these knockoffs, and yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like weird if you just think about that stuff.
And I think what's been really interesting is to see the move away from the music now, and now we're back for, like, we've gone kind of full circle back into dance. Anyone with a child that can basically stand or walk will be familiar with the floss.
Is it a Fortnite dance?
Yeah.
I don't know the floss, but I just about guarantee it's something to do with Fortnite. You always see those little kids outside. And they're always doing these things with their hands.
The floss is the backpack kit.
Oh yeah, backpack. Who I asked a few students about that, and he doesn't get referred to. They just stole his dance.
Really?
And commercialized it.
Oh,
well, maybe he does, but they don't call it the backpack kid dance.
Yeah, well, I don't make a habit of watching TMZ.
good,
because that's really bad.
Yeah.
But I happened to come across something where they were interviewing him and they were like, did you make any money from the Fortnite thing? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Are you angry about that? And then there was this long pause. And then he was like, no, just glad that my dance was included.
Yeah, well, see, that's, I don't know, that's unfair because someone's making money off something.
Yep.
Anyway,
pop culture, it's interesting, fascinating. It's interesting seeing what comes out through your kids. Well, I think it's fair to say that you probably now take the mantle back because that was even faster. I'm going to have to work a little harder on them.
Nah, it's going to be hit or miss this show, this part of the segment, sorry, and it's like, well, maybe the show is hit or miss too, but I think it's, you know, it's just a bit of good times.
You're either going to get it or you're not.
It's a win-win.
Win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Win.
Hugh win, hyphen, they win.
Shout outs to all the people named Win.
Why are more people, or Winnie. Winnie. More people should be called Winnie.
Winnie.
Maybe Winnie the Pooh ruined that. I want to call my kid Winnie, and then everyone's like, oh, Winnie the Pooh.
I had a neighbour named Winnie.
Really?
Mm. Lovely lady.
My friend's mum was called Winnie.
Mm. Anyway.
Sweet. All right. Let's wrap this up, Greg, before the camera stops. We've got like 1 minute. Takeaways.
Ooh, 1 minute. Oh, gosh. I just need to get to my next page. Gosh. Right. There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. That was a Maya Angelou quote. I think that sums up what we're about, what we constantly try and challenge ourselves to do every day. And we know, because we're doing it and we're living it, that you guys can be doing it too. So get out there, get amongst it. Know that there is a story that the world wants to hear, whether it's through this kind of medium, whether it's getting out and getting into your community and letting people know what you're about. Make sure that if there is that burning thing inside of you, that you let it out, because the overwhelming regret that is going to haunt you for the rest of your life if you don't let it out is something that you got to deal with.
100%. I'll just jump on that. Like the philosopher Arnold Schwarzenegger would say, life is a helicopter and go, get to the chopper, go. He's not saying, you know, enjoy your chopper ride. He's saying, live life, run from the predator, survive, get to the chopper. See ya, Greg. Go, get to the chopper, go. What are you doing here? Come on, get out of here. Peace. Why are our hands looking so yellow?
Whoa.
Peace. Don't do the fingers at everyone.